I would ask you to please turn with me this evening to the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. That is page 1307. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the message this evening is not what I first intended to bring this evening, and following dear brother Peter's message this morning, I felt that I would be advised to change direction, because much of what I was intended to say this evening would have been a follow-up of what brother Peter was teaching very adequately. My mind has gone to the God of hope, and I want to continue in a short series that we're having on the wonderful character of God. In fact, you could preach hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sermons on the character of God and still not fulfill that mission. Nevertheless, we are seeking just to remind ourselves of some of the precious characteristics of God, and characteristics which require a response from us in word and action, as an act of worship in our lives as believers. And this evening we come then to consider the God of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now the Apostle Paul is coming to the end of his letter to the Romans. He has just been given instructions about the need for an sympathetic and an unselfish Christian lifestyle. He says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The reproaches of those who approached you fell on me.' For whatever things were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus. And we considered that wonderful characteristic of God, the God of patience and comfort, 2 weeks ago. Now, the Apostle Paul is reminding us that Christ is the perfect example of such a lifestyle, an unselfish lifestyle. He gave of himself. And because of Christ and because of the teaching of his word, Paul exhorts the Christian believers to unity of mind and purpose for the glory of God. Receive one another just as Christ has received us. He then supports his argument by reminding the church of how the ministry of Christ was to both Jew and to Gentile. And in Christ there are no race barriers. There are no nation barriers. The gospel of Christ is universal throughout the world. And this brings us then to this beautiful desire and prayer in verse 13 for Christian believers. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now Paul's purpose here in his prayer is to encourage the believers to appreciate and experience the blessing of being a Christian. His desire is that we will enter into even more of the blessings available to us in Christ Jesus. In fact, he's desiring that we might be filled with joy and peace in believing, that we will abound in hope positively through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul's desire is that Christian believers will experience in the here and in the now something of the privilege of being under the grace of God in Christ Jesus, that we will have a taste of heaven on earth. Have you ever had a taste of heaven on earth? When the Holy Spirit has so worked in your life and applied the Word of God to you in such power that you've rejoiced in the Lord, you've seen Christ by faith, and he's become the one thing needful to you, the one above all others. Living in the blessing. The children of Israel were given by God the land of Canaan to possess. And it was a land full of creative, providential blessings. It was also a place where God promised to presence himself there with the children of Israel. And they were encouraged to go from the wilderness into the land of Canaan and possess all the land. And as they walked with God and they trusted in God, they were promised security and blessing practically and spiritually. They were entering into the enjoyment and the experience of God's promise to them in Canaan land. And they were being encouraged to appreciate the privileges of being believers, to enjoy their privileged status before God as they finally entered into Canaan land. The ones before couldn't enter in because of unbelief. But now there was a new generation. There were a generation of believers who were willing to go under the leadership of Joshua into Canaan land and to experience the blessing of God, particularly to them as a nation. And they could have victory over their enemies, and they could have peace in their hearts because of God's grace and favor toward them. They were God's special people. And when the children of Israel respected their privileges and honored God, they were abundantly blessed. And this is what Paul is teaching us here. He's saying to us, do you not know you have a God of hope? And this God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing that as you trust this God, the only eternal God, the God of hope, if you rest wholly and solely upon the God of hope, he will give to you joy and peace in believing. You will experience in your soul something the world knows nothing of, and you will abound in hope under the power of the Holy Spirit of God. A Christian is a person who is under God's covenant of grace. And he is a person, they are a person who have entered into the promised land of God's kingdom, the promised land of God's blessings, the promised land of God's promises. And my question to you this evening is, are you eating and drinking the promises? How are you dwelling in the land of Canaan? How are you dwelling in the land of the kingdom of God? Are you living up to your privileges? Do you know something about the joy and the peace of believing that comes from the God of hope? In the kingdom of God, this spiritual kingdom, which we dwell in as the adopted children of God, adopted into his family, living in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God spiritually, God intends you, his children, to experience joy and peace in believing. Even in the midst of severe trials and tribulations, he intends you to live in hope. Despite hope, to live in hope. Despite circumstances, to live in hope. To know that there is the God of hope that shines up through like a rainbow against the backdrop of that trial. He intends you to feel secure in an insecure world as children of his kingdom. But sadly, we are sometimes like the children of Israel, who, while living in the promised land, they didn't always appreciate, enjoy, and experience the potential blessing that was theirs. If they would but take it and walk obediently and live by faith and look to the Lord alone and separate from the idols and separate from the worldliness and live for Christ alone, they will experience something far better, far more lasting than all the world could offer them. Sadly, they became distracted from worshipping and trusting in the Lord alone. I've been greatly challenged reading a book recently And it speaks about the way in which we should read the Word of God. Not only to read the Word of God for truth, not only to read the Word of God to find Christ, but to read the Word of God to savor the Word of God, to enjoy its savor, to enjoy the fruit of the truth, that we might truly glorify God. God intends us to experience spiritual blessing eternally in heaven, but he intends us to experience it in the here and the now, even in the midst of trial and temptation. And this is a wonderful thing, you know, that you might be in the midst of a most unusual situation, a most unusual circumstance, a most unusual trial, something you never imagined that the Lord would permit you to go through. And yet one of the most remarkable testimonies can be that in this particular time when it seems impossible that you should rejoice in the Lord, it seems impossible that you should feel security, it seems impossible that you should have hope, because you are trusting in the God of hope, God gives you joy and peace in believing. And you can say, whatever else, this I do have. I have joy and peace in believing. You remember that little word joy, and we were taught in Sunday school, and we taught our children this, that if you take that little word joy, you know this well. J is for Jesus, O is for others, and Y is for yourself. And if you get life in that order, Jesus first, others second, yourself last, you will begin to know the pathway to joy. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. I want you to remember this evening that a born-again Christian called by God is special in God's sight. They are under his special care. The Apostle Peter teaches us this. He says, do you not know that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people? That means a special people. His special people, that you should show the forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. His special people. So now may the God of hope then fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now this has to be one of the most encouraging and positive statements in all scripture. And we consider this statement from four viewpoints. First of all, God in his faithfulness as the anchor of hope. The God of hope. This is the key to this text. It all hinges, it all rests upon the God of hope. Here is the very reason there is hope for you, for me, as a Christian believer living in a fallen, troubled, vulnerable world this evening. God is faithful to his character. God is faithful to his word. Oh, Paul says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. God has given us his word. His word is true. His word is faithful. And he's given us his word that we might have hope. And God is faithful to his word. He's faithful to his purposes of grace toward needy sinners. He's faithful to his gospel. We read it is the gospel of God, and it's the power of God unto salvation. God is faithful to his church. Oh, the word of God tells us that God is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Oh, God has an honorable name. And he's everything to those who trust in him. He is the object of hope. King Solomon said, he once wrote, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and is safe. Are you running into the tower this morning, this evening hour? Do you see this God of hope by faith? And you say, here he is, here is God. I can only run to God. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And by faith I'm going to run into the strong tower of God's name, God's character. Oh, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord? Who's obeying the voice of his servant, but is walking in darkness and has no light? It seems like you're in the valley and it doesn't seem to be any escape. And the mountains are surrounding you and you can't see any light at the end of the tunnel." I remember once we were on one of those cycle tracks in Derbyshire. And on one of those cycle tracks, you go through a long tunnel. And we took the children in and they were very scared. But right far in the distance was a little glimpse of light. And as long as you keep your eye on the light, you get nearer and nearer to the light, nearer and nearer to the end of the tunnel. You've just got to keep looking at the light. And this is what Isaiah says. "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. God is light, and you're walking in the darkness. What to do? You need to look to this God of hope. You need to trust in this God of hope. That is the only way. Trust in the name of the Lord. Stay upon your God." In the Old Testament of Jeremiah, he said, "This I recall to my mind." He was in spiritual difficulties. He was feeling despondent. "Therefore have I hope. I recall to my mind. I gird up the loins of my mind and I think biblically. Therefore have I hope." Why? "It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto all those that wait upon him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should both quietly hope and wait for the salvation of the Lord." Oh, the testimony of the Christian believer, their whole salvation, their whole life, their whole future, their whole being rests upon the God who cannot lie, the God of hope who fulfills his covenant promises in his Son, Christ Jesus. Here is certain hope. Here ultimately is the only hope. The Word of God says that by two immutable things, the covenant and the promise in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. What is the writer speaking about? Who is he speaking about? He's speaking about Jesus, who's entered into the veil, into the Holy of Holies, in the very presence of God the Father at his right hand. Oh, we have this hope in him. He is the anchor of the soul. Oh, Christian hope is so different from any other hope in the world. Any other hope is uncertain because its object is uncertain. No one knows anything for certain this evening in this world apart from that which is centered in God. God then is not only the anchor of hope, he's the author of hope. Paul teaches that hope in a Christian is a fruit of faith, that you may abound in hope. It's bestowed to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul says. Therefore, God is not only the object of hope, but is also the provision of hope. He is the source of hope. He is the stream of hope to you. He is the object and the giver of hope. So hope in a Christian is not something manufactured through intellect or through feelings. The mind and the emotions are certainly involved, and they are engaged, though, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So hope in the Christian is a fruit of God-given faith through the enabling of the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God applies the promises of God to our mind. He reveals Christ to us through the Word. And as we ourselves, by that God-given faith, lay hold upon Christ, lay hold upon those promises by faith, and we put all our trust in him and all our trust in God's word, hope will be one of the blessed fruits of that faith. So God is not only the God of hope, he's not only the object of hope, he is not only hope itself eternally, he's also the source of the experience of hope in your life. That you become hopeful Christians, full of hope, full of joy and peace in believing. We're on a journey. We're on a journey to glory. We're on a journey to heaven. We're just pilgrims on a journey. God is not only the anchor of hope, the foundation of hope. He is the author of hope. He is the giver of hope. But God also is the authority of hope. Because God-given hope is certain. And the God of hope is eternal. God will not fail us or disappoint us. Paul tells Titus, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So here we have the giver, the author, and the authority, and the anchor of hope. But then, fourthly, the appreciation of hope. God wants us to appreciate the blessings of hope. Now, if you go to a jeweler's to purchase a ring, you will notice that he will present, or she will present, the diamond ring, or whatever the type of ring is that you're going to purchase. He will do so, they will do so, on the back set of a black velvet cloth. Inevitably, this is how it is. They present the ring, but the actual background is black velvet. And the diamond glitters and shines as it is set against the backdrop of the black velvet. And hope in God, in a dark world, is like that diamond. It's glittering against the darkness. In the midst of your trial, the believer by faith places his diamond, that is a God of hope, on the situation. And by faith he says, yes, I know it's dark. I know it seems very impossible. I know it seems overwhelming. But what I'm going to do, by faith, I'm going to take my diamond. And this is my diamond, the God of hope. And I'm going to place by faith the God of hope on that trial. And it's going to glitter amongst the darkness. And I'm going to focus upon that diamond. And as I think and as I pray and as I consider, I'm going to keep polishing it in my mind that it might glitter more. And so the Christian believer can come into God's house to worship him as the God of hope. The God of hope on the situation. Words fail to do justice to this amazing statement. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Examine this statement. Drink it in. Gain spiritual strength from this statement in these coming days. Let God speak to you through his word. Let this statement dwell on your minds and sink into your very inner being. The God of hope in Christ is the light in a dark world. And by faith we need to bring the authority and appreciation of the God of hope into the situation that you are facing. There is and always will be in your situation the God of hope. Your situation may change, you may change, you may feel up and down. But there's always the God of hope. There's always the God of patience and consolation. There's always the God of truth. There's always the God of love. There's always the God of mercy. Friends, we've always got this. This is eternally the same. And there's characteristics of God that we're meant to appropriate by faith and apply to our situation in our life, that we might be strengthened, that we might have hope, that we might have joy and peace in believing. Well, as we embrace this truth by faith, we will enter into what joy Paul describes as the joy and peace of believing. Put the stamp of the God of hope by faith onto the situation. There was a time when Martin Luther was very down. He was very despondent, and he was ready to give up. And his wife came down to breakfast, and she was dressed in black. So Martin Luther asked his wife, who had died. And she replied that God has died. He was shocked, and he rebuked her straight away for saying such a terrible thing. And she replied, well, don't you behave as though he has died. And Luther himself was rebuked by his wife's actions. And he realized that he had by faith to stamp the reality of the living God, the eternal God, the God of hope on the situation. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now, this filling has to do with your whole being. It means that your whole being is under the control of the new nature. It has to do with your mind and emotion, your heart being captivated by the reality and the assurance of the God of hope. It affects the way in which we understand, the way in which we view, the way in which we accept the situation we are in. The Word of God speaks about rejoicing in hope. This is an ongoing exercise. Believing here, you'll notice, is a continual word. It doesn't say, fill you in joy and peace in belief, but fill you with all joy and peace in believing. It's a continuing word in the original. It has to do with continually believing in all circumstances, wholly trusted in Christ. Your life entrusted to Christ, committed to Christ, it is a realization of what you are in Christ Jesus. And as we believe in the God of hope who never lies, we can experience the fruit of joy and peace pervading our whole being in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness and peace in the Holy Spirit. Fill you with joy. Well, this word joy has the meaning of a calm delight. It has the meaning in the original of a sincere gladness that you are secure in Christ, that you are justified by faith in Him, that your joy finds its satisfaction and hope in Christ Jesus. So the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And then the third point here, joy and peace in believing. And this has to do with being quiet in one's inner self. Oh, that's so difficult, isn't it? We can't do this by nature. Quite literally, in the original, this word peace here, it means to sit down in the heart. Instead of restless uncertainty, you have freedom from anxiety. And this is only possible this evening as you exercise your faith in the God of hope, as you apply by faith the God of hope into the situation, as the sure foundation to this peace. It's impossible to experience true peace without being on the foundation of the God of hope, because this peace comes through believing and resting fully in the peace which has been purchased for us in Christ Jesus by the God of hope, that He might give you hope, that He might give you forgiveness, that He might give you eternal life, that He might give you a hope of heaven. Andrew Bonar said, I hear the words of love. I gaze upon the blood. I see the mighty sacrifice, and I have peace with God. I have this peace. You see, you have to be at peace with God before you can be at peace with yourself or your situation. It's impossible to be at peace with yourself and at peace with the situation until you come as a needy sinner and as a helpless one unto the Lord God, and you look to the God of hope and you say, Lord, I'm at the end of myself. I've come to the end of my wisdom, my strength, my understanding, and all I can do, Lord, is just come to you as I am, and I rest on the God of hope, on the God of love, on the God of truth, on the God of patience and consolation. This is reality. And sometimes God will permit us to go through deep pathways to bring us to that point. Well, in conclusion this evening, George Bernard Shaw is perhaps one of the most renowned of the so-called free thinkers of his time and liberal philosophers. But in his last writings, we read something most remarkable. He said, the science to which I pinned my faith is bankrupt. Its counsels, which I should have established the millennium, led instead directly to the suicide of Europe. I believed them once. In their name, I helped to destroy the faith of millions. And now they look at me and witness the great tragedy of an atheist who has lost his faith. Lost his faith. A testimony of the absence of hope. Having no hope and without God in the world. That's what we are by nature, without Jesus Christ. But then, Paul says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh, near, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now you have hope, as you are trusted in him and in him alone. By contrast to the tragedy and the hurt and the despair of atheism and unbelief, this evening we have this wonderful text. The joy and peace in believing, it nurtures and develops hope. And it's Paul's desire that Christian believers abound in hope, that they must be the most hopeful, optimistic people in the world, not about the state of the world, but about Jesus, about the Word of God, about the Gospel, about their faith in Christ. And their optimism is not based upon confidence in the world, but confidence in Christ. And this confidence captivates them, it overwhelms them. Overwhelming confidence and hope in Christ Jesus. Oh, David describes this experience. He describes God with him in the valley of the shadow of death. And he said, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a man walking through the valley, being led by the good shepherd through the valley. But he's saying, my cup runs over. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, this is experience. This is what this text means. Adamar Johnson said to somebody when he was in prison, where is your hope now in God? And he said, my future is as bright as the promises of God, the God that cannot lie. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to our hymn books.